Blog Talk Radio.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.
Well, blessings and good afternoon once again, and welcome to the UFCCM National Internet Radio Network. What you heard just a moment ago was an excerpt of the last Maximizing Your Church and Ministry of Laity with our national chair lady, teacher Dr. Margaret Tindall. And if you, the last time we did this, there was such an overwhelming response. And I can also see right now that there are several, there are individuals, looking in online. There are people calling in. And those of you that are listening in online, just in case you want to come on and have ask a question or have a comment, you can call in at 347-850-1405. Again, that's 347-850-1405 to call in. Now, we do have a limited amount of switchboard space, so if you call in and you don't get in, just listen online. You can continue to listen, rather, where you're listening. You just won't be able to comment. So, again, we are so thankful today that our teacher, Tindall, the National Chair Lady of Laity, is ready and able to help you with the resource tools as the launch of this, the official launch of this show has been activated to move into the national training seminars and workshops in each jurisdiction. And with that said, we will make sure that you now have our teacher Tindall on the line. God bless you, teacher Tindall.
Thank you so much, Bishop Hayward. We're so honored this morning to have our presiding prelate, Bishop Tindall, with us. And at this time, I'm going to ask him if he would give us our opening prayer. Bishop Tindall. Bishop Tindall, are you there? Well, apparently we have some difficulty, so we will go ahead with our opening prayer. Father God, we come before you right now in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your goodness and for how you have brought us together one more time to honor your word and to learn more of you. We ask you to bless this broadcast, bless each hearer, help us all to walk away being inspired as never before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hello?
Yes, Bishop Tindall?
I was praying, but obviously I got a disconnect there, but I'm sorry about that.
Well, would you please grace us with a prayer at this time?
That's all right. I heard you praying, so we can go on.
Okay, well, we thank you for being a part of this broadcast today, and I'd like to greet all of our listeners and welcome you to the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach Broadcast. These broadcasts are designed to reach out to the UFCCM laity and to fulfill the goal of the Ministry of Laity Training, which is in keeping with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, which teaches us to prepare the laity for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually. Today, our topic is 3 powerful steps to accomplishing extraordinary things for God. And we will be looking at the book of Judges because there's so many lessons to be learned. In last month's broadcast, we referenced the role of the USCCM laity, that while we are subordinate to the clergy in the work of the church, we as laity are yet instrumental in helping to build and further the work of the church. Today, we want to examine 3 powerful steps that we as USCCM laity in our respective churches and ministries can take to accomplish extraordinary things for God. A thorough reading of Scripture reveals that not all of those who accomplished great works for God are big, well-known, and popular figures such as David, Jeremiah, John, Paul, and so many others. The Scripture is filled with references to ordinary people like us who did extraordinary things. One of these people is a little-known man who most people have never heard of by the name of Shamgar. Shamgar was the 3rd judge of Israel, and there's only one verse in the Bible, Judges chapter 2, verse 31, which acknowledges his role in the history of Israel. If we read the book of Judges, we note that it records the fact that because of their disobedience, Israel experienced 7 periods of apostasy or turning away from God and oppression, and 7 periods of deliverance, which took place over a period of about 400 years. They were in a cycle of turning away from God, followed by judgment in the form of oppression by their enemies, followed by repentance and return to God, followed by God's blessings of peace and prosperity, and then the cycle started all over again. During the periods of oppression, God raised up judges to deliver Israel. Judges chapter 2, verse 18 tells us, "And when the Lord raised then up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them." These judges were not actual judges or rulers in accordance with the traditions of ancient Israel. They were basically people who were raised up by God to bring relief from oppression. Shamgar was the 3rd of these judges. He lived during the period of the 2nd apostasy, and he was instrumental in Israel's 2nd deliverance. The name Shamgar means destroyer, and that is exactly what he was. Judges 2 and 31 says, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Now, it doesn't tell us if he did this over a period of time or if he did it in one encounter, but we read that his weapon was an ox goad. The ox goad was a pointy stick used in guiding oxen. However, because Shamgar was willing to be used by God for the purpose designed for him, because he was ready when God needed him, in Shamgar's hand, the ox goad became a lethal weapon. There are some powerful lessons we can learn from the account of Shamgar and steps that each of us as laity can take to accomplish extraordinary things for God. In his book, The 3 Successes of Shamgar, Pat Williams gives 3 success secrets. Let's examine these in the spiritual context and in light of our role as USCCM laity, desirous of preparing ourselves for works of service and being built up and matured spiritually. And let's see what we can learn from Shamgar to help us accomplish extraordinary things for God and extraordinary things in the UFCCM. So these powerful steps. Step one, start here. Start now. Start where you are. Shamgar did not wait for circumstances to be perfect or to gather an arsenal of weapons with which to defeat the Philistines. He started where he was. How often do we feel we have to wait to get everything just so before we're willing to make a move for God? As laity, are we willing to be used by God? Willing to be ready to be used by him when he needs us? We may never be famous. We may never be able to do something as grandiose as someone else. We may not get our name up in lights, or we may never have our 15 minutes of fame. We may feel like we don't have everything set up like we want it, or that we have anything great to offer, but we must start where we are and not wait until everything is to our liking. We must be ready, willing, and obedient to accomplish something for God that will bring glory to God. The second step, use what you have. Shamgar did not have a spear or a sword, but he had the instrument next at hand, which was the ox goad. And as we have learned, this was an instrument designed to drive oxen. It was not designed to fight seasoned warriors. But in Shamgar's hand, as we said, it became a lethal weapon to destroy 600 Philistines. This teaches us that no matter what the weapon, if God directs and if we are leaning on his strength and if we are obedient, we have more strength than all the world. Often God works by unlikely means that his power may be made manifest. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27 through 29 teaches us that God uses foolish things. He uses weak things. He uses base things. He uses despised things. And he even uses things which are not, so that no flesh shall glory in his presence. What do you have that when used in obedience will bring glory to God? What is your ox goad? What has God put in your hand or in your heart or in your mind that you can use to do extraordinary things for him? None of us as Christians should ever belittle ourselves as insignificant in God's sight, but we should embrace the power of one, the power of small things. Little is much when God is in it. It may seem insignificant, but whatever you have, using it in obedience can make it an instrument of deliverance. We see so many examples in the scripture. We've already talked about Shamgar, who killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. But David defeated Goliath with a sling and one smooth stone. He had more stones in his arsenal, but with God's guidance, he only needed one. The widow of Zarephath in Elijah's day, all she had was a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, but in obedience and using what she had in obedience to God, she and her house were delivered. Jesus fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch, with many, many baskets left over. So using what we have for God is a powerful step. How often do we fail to use what we have because we feel that it won't matter? Jesus taught that even a cup of water given in his name is significant. There's a popular TV commercial which you may have seen, and it asks the question, what's in your wallet? And I'm sure as we watch that commercial, some of us may have various answers. But as we think about what's in your wallet, let's flip that around a bit and ask ourselves as laity, as laborers in God's vineyard, as desirous of doing a work for God, what did God put in my hand? What has he given me that I can use for him? What he has given you may not be as much as he has given someone else, but he's given each of us something. The Bible even lets us know that every man is given a measure of faith. All have something that we can use for God. Keep in mind that we are required to use what we have, not what we don't have. So again, what do you have? Whatever your ox goad is, be it gifts and talents, be it time, be it resources, whatever, take them and lay them at the master's feet and let him use them and use you to accomplish great things for him. There is so much work to be done, but there is something that we can all use to God's glory, to build his kingdom and to build his work. I'm reminded of a poem by Helen Allison, which always makes me think how powerful using what we have is, be it little or much. And it says, one little unshed raindrop may think itself too small, yet somewhere a thirsty flower awaits its gentle fall. One little word unspoken may seem too small to say, but somewhere for that one word a heart may be waiting today. So use what you have. Don't worry about what you don't have, but use what God has placed in your hand and at your disposal to build and to do a work for God. Step number three. Use what we have and then do what we can. We learn from the account of Shamgar that what he did was significant. It was important. It was significant to God because it honored God. It was significant to his family, and it was significant to the nation of Israel. As we read in Judges 2 and 31, he also delivered or saved Israel. Sometimes we think, I'm only one person. I can only do so much. I can't do it all. But you know what? Nobody is asking us to. God is not requiring us to do the impossible. We have to remember that God never requires us to do anything that we are not capable of doing. We may feel that we are not suitable, we're not capable, but if God calls you to do it, he will ensure that you will be able to do what it is that he has called you to do. God only requires us to do what we can. And if we will do what we can, God will bless what we do. And you know what? What we cannot do, He will do. He will see that it is accomplished. Jesus said it best that day in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper when Mary came and poured out an alabaster flask of oil on him. Some of the observers criticized her, even Judas criticized her, thinking, oh, what a waste of money, because why is this money being wasted, when we know from the scriptures that his disagreement was because of the fact that he was stealing the money. But that being said, in the face of this criticism, Jesus told those who criticized this woman, let her alone. And he also said, she has done what she could. Isn't that powerful? She has done what she could. That is all that God is requiring us to do. Not the impossible, but what we can do.
Teacher Tyndall, we have. Teacher Tyndall, I'm sorry. We have several callers on the line, and the lines are full again. So I wanted to take, you know, just a quick moment just to alert you of that. My apologies for coming in out of the control room for that purpose. But we do have several callers, and it appears they have questions or comments. Also, those of you that cannot get in, because I was just alerted also that the lines are full, but you can continue to listen online. So, Teacher Tyndall, just let me know when you'd like me to start bringing those guests in for their question or comments.
Okay, I will, Bishop Haywood. I just have a couple more things I want to add. I want to encourage you to do what you can, and I want to close with this little story about everybody, somebody, nobody, and anybody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Now, somebody got angry about that because they felt that it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody would not do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. I encourage you to think about this and ask yourself, which one am I? Take some time and think about these steps which we've learned from the story of Shamgar, and ask yourself some serious questions as they pertain to your role as a member of the UFCCM laity. Where's a good place to start? How can I start now? What do I have that I can use? What can I do? And then I encourage you to make a plan and just do it. God has given us as laity many opportunities to accomplish great and extraordinary things for Him, and He expects us to use these opportunities. In closing, let's keep in mind the powerful steps we've learned from what Shamgar did in delivering Israel. Start here. Start now. Use what you have and do what you can. I'd like to open it up now for questions and comments.
Caller for at 920, in your first three exchanges, 344, please give your name and ask your question or comment.
My name is Tequila, and my question is, how can you be effective in church, or how can, and I will say, it's like a two-part question, I would say. How can you be effective, and how can a member or any member or any leader or anyone in church, how can they be effective in church, and what kind of what type of resources can be used or utilized in church, resources can be valuable that can be adapted in church that would be valuable.
Okay, caller, I think I understand your question. Your first question, how can we be effective in church? I think one of the key ways in which we can be effective is to do what the Word of God tells us to do, which is to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because when we go into God's word and we study God's word and we pray over God's word and ask God to guide us and show us, there will be a great impartation of learning and information and guidance for us. Coupled with this, in terms of resources, the USCC and Ministry of Laity Training has innumerable resources that we have put together and designed specifically for USCCM laity to teach them, to help them to learn how to be effective. And being effective means to me to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. This is our goal in the Ministry of Laity Training, to actually come and sit with the laity in the various churches and jurisdictions and work with them through workshops and seminars and practice sessions and role plays and teaching sessions, so that you can get to the place that you can actually learn how to be effective and walk away with strategies and techniques that you can use in order to do so. Does that help you?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless.
Teacher Tyndall, we are down to 2 minutes and 43 seconds. The lines are still full. I'm going to try and bring those of you that can't get in, please, about 5 to 10 minutes after the show, you can listen to the archive and download the show as well. Let us go to our next caller. Caller, you're at area code 708 with the first three exchanges of 543. And do you have a question or comment?
Actually, I just want to say that I have really, really enjoyed the teachings today. I thought it was concise, direct, and on point. And, I mean, of course, it's scriptural, but I'm just sitting here preparing for a conference, and I know that this was a godsend and in perfect timing, but I am really enjoying it. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much, caller. God bless.
Caller, you're at area code 773 with the first three exchanges, 822. Do you have a comment or question?
Hi. My question was also about how to be effective in the church. I kind of caught the end part of what you were saying because I had to leave my phone and deal with the kids, but I didn't actually catch the beginning of what you were saying to Sister Tequila. So if you don't mind, can you kind of repeat the first part? And also, with dealing with the kids, I am so sorry about that, but I got step three of the three parts. I don't know if the start here was the first and start now with three and use what you have and do what you can was the third part of that.
And I'm sorry, caller, we have only about 30 seconds left of the show. So if the host will go ahead and answer that.
Okay. Oh, caller, given the fact that we only have 30 seconds, I would recommend that you listen. You can go in and listen to the archive broadcast, but really, really very quickly, the first step was start where you are. The second step was use what you have, and the third step was do what you can.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. God bless.
God bless you.
Well, Teacher Tendo, I'm sorry, that's all the time we have. I'll let you finish. And as well as talk about the name of the show. I think it's phenomenal.
The name of our radio show is the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach Broadcast. And we will be broadcasting every month on the second Saturday of the month. Our next broadcast is Saturday, May 14th. God bless. Love you all.